For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast is fueled by The Man Shake. I lost 30 kilos in 10 months using this meal replacement shake. If you want to support the show and Max in my weight loss journey, or to even start your own, click the link in the description below. The Man Shake. Real blokes, real results.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation, 8+ years in the games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can get in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are watching us on the YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculture, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Still in the digital space this week, Max, we are still doing From Home,
yeah,
episodes, because things didn't get better. They are slightly better, but things didn't get better in the world that is Australia right now. So we are still operating from home.
Correct.
It's not that bad. It could be worse. I'm glad we can still do the show, but you know, it's just nice seeing people.
Yeah. I went out to the supermarket today just because I'm just like, I need some fresh air. I'm kind of the supermarket. I've been out and about a little bit this week. I was lucky enough to go and get my first Astra jab on Monday.
After weeks of talking about it and starting every show with you bitching about how you can't get it. You got your hold in Astra. How do you feel about it? How'd you go?
It was fine. So I got it done at like 3 o'clock Monday afternoon. By 3 o'clock Tuesday morning at work, I all of a sudden had this incredible muscle pain in my thigh and upper arm where I got at the injection site. That lasted until 6 p.m. the following day. And then instantly it was just like a switch had been flicked and all my pain went away. It was fine. I'm like, okay, that was weird.
Oh, at least it went away.
Apart from that, that was the only side effect I got. Luckily, I didn't get too bad of a headache or anything like that. I just got, this. It felt like, I don't know if you can remember, it felt like growing pains. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get taller. This is
finally,
it.
Finally, yes.
This is it. I'm gonna get vaccinated and I'm going to grow. It turns out I'm not going to grow.
No, it just hurt. I haven't experienced growing pains in many, 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 many years. I kind of forgot that sensation. So, yeah, I don't
know. But when I went in, my wife was at work, so I had to take my kid with me. So I rang the clinic beforehand and went, hey, look, is this going to be all right if I bring my child in? Because, you know, I can't get a sitter, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, it should be fine. And then the whole time Hadley was like, this better not be for me.
Oh, she did she freak a little bit?
I don't want no needles. Yeah. She sat beside me and held my hand while I got my shot done.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a bit cute.
Yeah. My son's
it was fine.
My son's going fucking insane. He really needs to go to kinder. Because he is just this ball of energy at the best of times. Mm. And he needs to be somewhere. He needs to run around, but he's not doing it because he's stuck here. Like he goes, he can run around the house and run out the back and out the front and what, but it's not the same.
You got to take him outside to the park for his 1 hour of exercise.
Mm. Yeah, but then he can't touch any of the equipment or anything. And, you know, it's tough. He's probably going to go insane.
Take him to like a soccer oval. Take a soccer ball down. That way he's not touching anything that's not his own.
That's true. That might work.
Kind of run around like a maniac.
Yeah, that could work. That 100% could work.
That's what we did the other week. We went down to the soccer ovals near Barwon Edge and just let Hadley run across the fields for half an hour until she tired herself out and threw it back in the car and went home.
Yeah, it might work. There's a big green belt near here. I might just go do that. But I am very fearful, though. Not of COVID, because...
Of the bird.
Of the birds. I learned, you know, for anyone that remembers from last year when I got fucking wrecked by a plover outside in my street, I do have this fear of that happening again.
Because, well, you know they all have photographic memories, right? So he'll know you impression. As soon as he sees
they're
you.
They're going to remember. Yeah. And I, as I've discussed throughout the year, I continue to yell at them through my car window. I, you know, like every time I see them, I kind of yell at them as I drive past. So there's if they do talk to each other as a bird community, I imagine I'm not well received in the plover community, which is great because I also disrespect the plover community, and given the opportunity, I would destroy all of them, to be honest. So it is there's a lot of animosity, and I do worry that that may blow out into what would become a family incident. You know, I don't want some sort of, you know, Capulets versus Montague sort of Romeo and Juliet as set up, you know, families beefing families on the street, rhyming about it. That's all I remember from that movie. we do need to do something. It's getting absolutely fucking insane. But other than that, man, yeah, no, the week's been pretty good. Yes, it works still kicking. Yeah, just going through the motions. So here we want to talk about what we've been playing. So once again, admittedly, I've not been playing a whole lot. This week primarily has been me painting my new Rumble Slam miniatures, which is a miniatures game. Think fantasy football with Blood Bowl. It's fantasy wrestling, but with miniatures. And it's exciting, and I'm really enjoying making them. So I've just been sitting in here, painting miniatures and watching TV and wrestling with Craig.
I've played a few things, but I haven't played anything deeply.
Yeah, so I am playing one title, though, and I know you have as well. We can't talk about it yet, but we have been playing that, and that's cool. But there is another one that you've been playing, but you said you've only touched the surface level. So
Yeah. So I've been playing Chris Tales. So big shout out to, was it Turn Left?
Yeah, Turn Left for providing us the code on that one.
Distribution for providing us the code for that one. So this is the new hand-drawn JRPG-inspired game that released a couple of days ago. I think it was on the 20th.
Yeah, just recently.
Just recently.
Friday?
Yeah.
Friday? Tuesday or Friday of this last week.
Yeah. So I've only played the initial tutorial area, so I've played maybe 30 to 40 minutes. Graphically, the game is delightful. It's this hand-drawn picture, like pop-up picture book art aesthetic that really works well. It's kind of this 2.5D game, so although you're playing it as a on a 2D plane, you still have that freedom of the eight axis movement of like backwards deeper into the background, and you can come forward to the foreground to move up and down kind of as you traverse the world. The combat is that old school style turn-based JRPG with a little bit of a mix-up of instead of all the enemies spawning on one side and you spawning on the other side of the screen, you seem to appear in the middle, and enemies can spawn all around you, and you pick a direction to attack in before you, as opposed to picking a...
Like a lane? We're turn-based. I think we always see them as lanes, right? So it's like...
Yeah, similar to that. But again, I'm not very deep, so you play as the title character, Chris Bell, and you seem to be an orphan with some form of magical power that makes you unique in this RPG world. But that's as far as I've gotten so far. I haven't had a chance to dive deep into it. I know it is one of those... It's not quite as lengthy as the big JRPGs. I think this sits at around 20 to 25 hours.
Beautiful.
So I'm very, very early on. I am looking forward to diving back in. This week's just kind of been kind of eh. I've been... I've been so exhausted this week, so I haven't played much. The other thing that I've been playing a little bit of is the new Amazon MMO New World. Mm-hmm. The beta's running for the next week before its launch at the end of August. So this, I played the beta for this back in August of last year. No one was happy with it, so they kind of took it down. They're like, we're not launching it this year. We're going to rework everything. And then we're going to dive back into it next year. So the beta is running now. They've made heaps of improvements. It seems way more stable. They've changed a lot of the character models. And it's looking promising. It plays a little bit like Elder Scrolls Online, as opposed to your more traditional like World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy Online, which is a nice change of pace. And other than that, I have been playing nothing.
Yeah, it is weird, like, because I thought that I'd be probably playing a bit more. You know, like I said, I have been playing one game that I can't really discuss. Even then, I've only, similar to yourself, I've touched that incredibly surface level, right? Like, very minimal. It's just, yeah, my week has just been other things. It's just been watching shit and hanging out and just...
Yeah, despite the fact that we're in lockdown, I mean, you're still working, I'm still working, and it's just, you know, my wife's still working as well because she has the ability to work from home. It's just... things are still busy.
Yeah, and it's just this kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it's just this weird motivation to not really, like, you know, go nuts, which is kind of fun. As we say at the start of every show, we are live on Twitch, and we have the Puck finally returned after a couple of weeks away. Good to see you, Puck. And Kat, our good friend Kat. Heidi ho, Nebrianos. Heidi ho, Kat. Thank you both for joining us. But yeah. See, that's the thing. I always think I've played like one game this like a week, and I'm pretty sure I have. It's just been in this one, but like I did boot up Resident Evil. Shit, what's it called? Red Dead.
Red Dead.
Red Dead.
I did the same thing. I booted up Red Dead because after discussing it last weekend, I think we both installed it, and neither of us have made an effort to play with each other.
No, but like I think, like you said, I can't do nothing tonight, so maybe we can play some Red Dead tonight. But it has one of those things. I booted it up, and I was like, I do not know where the fuck I am, or what buttons I need to do anything.
Well, I couldn't work out how to actually get in the game because the whole start menus change. It's like, do you want it? When I booted it up, it's like all this stuff for online. I'm like, how do I just play the story? How do I get there? I got there in the end, but... And then I looked around, I'm like, I don't remember this place at all. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I am. I can't see anything. For some reason, it was really dark. I'm just like...
Look, admittedly, I just kind of had a realization. I have been playing games, not my games, though, playing my son's games. He and I were playing Marvel's Lego Super Heroes this morning, so we did a run through it. We've been running through that. I think he's rolled credits on Donut County about 6 times this week. Well, at least in lockdown, because he just kind of plays the game from start to finish every time. He just likes the simplicity of it, I guess. And then, even though I can't stand it, like, remember when we reviewed Ben 10 last year? Mm-hmm. He keeps playing that. Like, he just loves the open worldness of it all. So I've actually probably spent more time playing games with him, hating it, because I'm like, I don't want to play any of these fucking games. And he's like, hey, Dad, let's play SpongeBob. I'm like, I do not want to play SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the scenario that we're at, but that's all right. Before we jump into the news, though, let's get in the section we call our Get Less Fat update. So for those that don't know, from the beginning of 2020 to now, I have lost over 35 kilos using a product called The Man Shake. It is a meal replacement shake that I am an ambassador for. At the start of this year, Max started his weight loss journey on The Man Shake. So what we do each and every week is we have this section of the show where we tell you how we've been going over the week in order to keep ourselves accountable, in order just to sort of go down that path. Max, how has your Get Less Fat update-ness been this week?
This week's been shit. my mood has plummeted because of lockdown. I'm just like, I basically went into this fuck everything thing, and I have not had a single shake this week.
Oh, that's all right.
In saying that, I also haven't been eating crap all week, but I definitely haven't lost anything this week.
Yeah, yeah. So like I'm in a similar space. I'm leveled out. I am leveled out in terms of let me just bump that mic up there. Apparently I'm a bit quiet, says Puck. So I myself have I'm still about the same weight. With no gyms at the moment, that does make things a little bit harder. So I'm still sitting at that same window. It is the lighter part of the window that I normally hang around in, which is that 107 to 109 at the moment. So I'm kind of a little bit closer to the 107 side of things, which is nice. So, without the gyms, there's been not much. And I'm not, because it's cold as shit right now. Like, I'm not going to go a big walk around the block, plus scared of birds. But, you know what I mean? So, like, well, I'll just eat better. Saying that, though, like, last Saturday, after we finished here, I was like, I'm cheat mealing the fuck out of it. So, last Saturday, it was Dirty Bird, and then it was Halo Top, a little tub of the Halo Top ice cream. Now, for those who don't know, Halo Top is tremendous. It's a little tub of ice cream. It's like 300 and something calories. So it's the equivalent calories of a man shank, but it's dessert and it's awesome. Like they actually have genuinely amazing flavors. There's like the choc fudge brownie is so good.
I have a tub of choc fudge brownie in my freezer at the moment.
Yeah, I found this low calorie, low sugar topping as well, salted caramel topping. Added that in there as well. So like even when because I was a piece of shit, I ate the whole fucking tub. Plus the topping, it was really only like 400 calories just over.
Yeah.
So it's perfectly manageable. But then I also tried salted caramel and pretzels, but it's entirely plant-based. It's made with oat milk. So, which is awesome because most dairy-free ice creams are made with coconut milk. And coconut tastes like butt, and the flavor just cuts through something fierce. Or it's made with soy milk, which has its own nutty flavor. Oat milk is great. Like, you can kind of hide the oatiness with just the right... Certain flavors completely void it out, which has been great. And then I also picked up, because I've had a little bit of each over the week, is the strawberry cheesecake flavor. Oh, my God. Because there's little crummy biscuit parts in it, and it just tastes like cheesecake. It makes it very... I'm so glad that it's not that all that bad for me, because holy shit, would I just be so much fatter. But other than that, shakes have been going great. I've just kind of been doing the same rotation of my coffee one in the morning with my birthday shake in the afternoon. So I do look in my cupboard and I see all the other flavors that I have available, and I'm like, I really should use these other flavors, because right now I'm just smashing a lot of birthday cake. But I'm, you know what? I'm not even mad about it yet. I'm still certainly enjoying it.
You will be when you run out of birthday cake.
I'll be so sad when I run out of birthday cake. I'll be like, well, guess I'm going to have to go back to my fucking chocolate and caramel and strawberry and shit. But no. But if you want to support us on our weight loss journey, you can by heading to the link in the description below. It is bit.ly/FTPmanshake. By going over there, you don't even have to buy anything. Just clicking the link shows your support to us, and it helps us out with the man shake. But speaking of getting slimmer, Max,
I was gonna use that segue.
Yeah, let's get into the news in a section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Well, as Ryan alluded to, it turns out that the PlayStation 5 Digital Edition is slimming down too. So Sony has submitted paperwork for a new model, which according to the manual is 300 grams lighter than its predecessor and has slightly more manageable base screw. It's unclear if there are any other obvious changes at this stage, but you can expect the console to look exactly identical from the outside. We do know that they're working with a Taiwanese manufacturing juggernaut TSMC on a new semi-customized 6nm chip for the system starting from 2022, which they hope will help to bring the PlayStation 5 stock issues in check. However, this revision probably isn't that, although clearly something has changed to get the weight down. With regards to the base screw, all they've done is switch it to a thumb screw, which should be easier to use. You won't have to find a screwdriver like we did when we got our PlayStation 5s.
That's not too bad. Look, this is good news. Obviously, the fact that it's getting slimmer and stuff is great because the console is ginormous. But even more of like, we remember they're reporting on the 6nm chip a while back, because the standard one within the oldish model, quote unquote, was a 7nm, very small, but that does allow for at least some minor production cost reduction, which means they can, in theory, produce more, which hopefully leads to more availability. And having it go over to Taiwan is that same benefit as well. Like if Foxconn, I believe, where they build them from, if that mm-hmm. place is just flat the fuck out with everything else, build them in two locations. If there's really no difference in the end product, do it. Just to get more out there, you know, and like, sweet.
Next up, we have some new offers on the PlayStation 5. If you own a PS5 and are interested in Apple TV Plus at all, you're in for a treat. From now until the 22nd of July 2022, you can download the Apple TV Plus application through your PlayStation 5 and activate the offer for 6 months of the service for free. So if there's any Ted Lasso fans out there who don't want to...
I have heard so much good shit about Ted Lasso.
It is fantastic.
All right.
It is fantastic.
I'm going to have to take this off for
6 months. Yeah, 6 months for free. At the end of the 6 month, you can cancel the subscription or you can keep it going with whatever their monthly cost is.
Because like I know also on there as well is Mythic Quest, which is the Rob McElhenney, Ubisoft supported, I believe, series, which I've seen the first season of, not through Apple Plus. But like I did really, really enjoy it. So I know there's a new season. I think they've just done a second season. So that might be a great way to see both those things. I don't know what else Apple TV offers, if there is anything, but...
And lastly, sticking to the TV space, we have some more casting roles for Last of Us, the HBO series. Anna Torv from Fringe and Mindhunters will join the cast, playing the role of Tess. Torv is listed as a, quote, recurring guest star.
Mad. So we're slowly starting this, because I know they're actively filming right now. So it's obviously they're like, well, we'll announce this role while we're filming, because if this person rocks up on set, we're going to be able to explain, they don't have to like worry about explaining why. Plus, having Tess involved isn't a major story spoiler. It actually makes a lot of sense to have Tess involved. So to me, that's a big old thumbs up. Are you feeling hopeful about The Last of Us series?
At the beginning, I wasn't. I think now with what they're doing, it could work. Mm-hmm. I always hope that something like this succeeds because there's so much. It's really hard to translate video games into a non-interactive medium like TV and movies, and it hasn't been done well in the past, and I always hope that it does. So fingers crossed that they can pull this off.
Yeah, I am feeling more hopeful about it than than I have been.
I think their casting choices have been pretty on point so far. So that, you know, that's just one good, you know, that's one point in the pro column, I guess.
And like, admittedly, like, unlike, apart from, you know, Pedro Pascal and the young girl whose name I can never remember from Game of Thrones, the cast is relatively unknown in major circles, right? So I'm not as in the movie space as I used to be. So I look at this, I'm like, I don't know who that is, but I like that. Because, it's the problem that we're having is if I look over at the Uncharted film, what bums me out is Mark Wahlberg as Sully. I'm like, that's novelty casting. You're casting because he's a name, right? That's how I see it. Where here, they're like, well, I at least get the perception that they're hiring for who will be good in the role.
Yeah.
And I like that. Because if it was just like, here's fucking Matt Damon and here's, you know, Ben Stiller. I'm like, they are really weird picks, by the way. And Ally could be played by Ben Stiller. I'm not saying that she can't. But, you know, it would be very weird and uncomfortable.
It would. Yeah. Jim Carrey, perhaps.
Yeah, Jim Carrey is all the clickers. All of them. All right, next up. You titled this one, My 10 Cents. Tencent has tabled a $1.27 billion bid for the British dev studio Sumo Digital. The guys are probably best known for making Sackboy's A Big Adventure, as well as Little Big Planet 3.
And they do, yeah.
Yeah. So, assuming there are no unforeseen... which has been accepted, I should add.
Yeah.
So, assuming there are no unforeseen complications with the deal, the dev will become a subsidiary of the WeChat app owner Tencent. Tencent also own Riot Games, you know, best known for League of Legends, and has stakes in both Epic and Dontnod. The Sumo Group, which is comprised of a number of different studios, both in the UK and abroad, will retain its current leadership beyond... the proposed buyout, with Carl Kaver set to stay on as a boss. Quote, "The opportunity to work with Tencent is one we just couldn't miss," end quote, he said after founding the studio some 18 years ago. Now, I know we've said it before, and I will say it again. I have such an uncomfortable look at what the future of the gaming space will be when you have the likes of Chinese this isn't like racism because they're Chinese. My concern is around the fucking CCP, right? You know, like, that is my concern because they're a direct involvement with Tencent as a company. And I am so worried about the level of control that they will attempt to take over the gaming space. They're seeing it right now purely in a dollar control, right? They are throwing money everywhere. And it is going to be an impressive force on studio growth development, right? And it's going to also be a hit in terms of studio creativity. We look over right now at the movie industry and the effect that the Chinese market is having on these films. You know, when their things are being removed and edited just to appease that individual market. Like, games have been great at having some sort of relative free expression, right? Depending on where you go. Obviously, some have, you know, we look at certain franchises that, like, clearly are made under a publisher that's just wanting to churn them out and don't really have something to say. But with these purchases, I do worry about the creative future, because that pressure is pressure. You know, Tencent don't even have to say anything. Just their mere presence will make people reconsider what they touch upon, what words they use, what stories they want to tell. What's that game recently that had a bunch of shit reworded in it and they haven't even connected to Tencent? Like, all reference to Taiwan were removed. Oh, shit, what was the game? That's gone. But either way, like, that to me is a massive, massive concern.
Yeah.
Are you in the same place as me, or am I
look, it's a weird situation, because obviously when they come in and buy, especially game studios, there's always that line at the bottom where they're like, whoever's running the show is still running the show, we're going to leave it in place, we just own them now, we're just bankrolling them now. And although at a surface level that sounds like they're not going to have an input, but they clearly are.
Yeah.
Like, if they're bankrolling it, it doesn't matter if the former leadership is still in that position. There's still something that is like, you know, if we do this, will our funding be cut because of X or Y?
Exactly. Like, the second obviously, you get, your second money is involved, like, you are...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard. And especially, like you said, with how big, especially Tencent is getting now and the amount of studios that they're getting their hands on, it is concerning.
They're not trying to do a Vivendi-esque takeover with Ubisoft from a number of years ago. They're not trying to control one particular subsect. They are literally trying to spread almost tendrils into every part of the gaming space. They don't need to completely hold it. It's more of just, you know, if they have a little bit in everything, they can control by spread rather than control by direct power.
I wonder what this means for Sumo Group and their relationship with Sony moving forward. Obviously, they were a second party studio for...
Yeah, when it comes to Little Big Planet, yeah.
And when it came to Little Big Planet and Sackboy, obviously, there is no Chinese made console. Tencent aren't in the hardware space in that sense. Do you think it'll make a difference to... Do you think changes will be made between their relationship with Sony in the future, now that they're owned by Tencent?
Well, I kind of don't think so. I mean that in terms of if they can still deliver the Sackboy games the way that Sony want them to, it wouldn't hurt them to do so. But seeing as, like, I'm sure they could find another party to work on Sackboy, right? All the basic stuff is there. They never owned the IP. They were just the studio that Sony were working with, right? And the only reason that they were, I presumably got assisted when it came to doing it again with Sackboy's Big Adventure, because they know the product. They can very easily pass it on to somebody else if there is some sort of issue there. Now, we know that Sony hasn't got an issue with working within the Chinese market, because we, you know, the likes of Fist, and I think last week even Jim Ryan had interviews with Chinese publications, right? So it's not as if they're afraid to work in that space. So it's very possible that they may still want to work with Sumo Digital if they want to work on it. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. But in the chat, Shane from Magic Car says, as I mentioned last week, they kindly invited me to guest on the show, The Question Box, which was an absolute blast, stunned me completely. It was brilliant. He says, I think things will remain the same operationally for Sumo. Tencent just want their fingers in all the pies. Hot. They go where value is and growing, so they'll let Sumo manage themselves, which they'll be doing successfully. Very true, but like that does line up with what you were saying, Max, and lines up kind of with what I was saying as well. Yeah. But for me, it is that concern of that overarching power that comes with that. Like, you don't need, like you said, you can be an operational threat, operational control, by not physically getting in the operations.
Yeah,
they can just stand out next to it like this. And anytime they try to do operations, you look over and you just see that looming, like metaphorical looming figure. You are going to reconsider how you work.
Yeah, of course.
And that is the real. And I believe that's the real concern here. But we'll wait and see. Like I said, it is very doom and gloom of me, but I think it is a very understandable doom and gloom on my part. It's not me being cynical for the sake of being cynical. I just worry about that creative side of it, I guess.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, let's talk EA Play Live. So EA Play Live happened Friday morning for those of us here in Australia at 3 a.m. First up, we had Grid Legends. So Codemasters unveiled its first game since being acquired by EA. This game is due to release in 2022, so much similar to their previous foray into racing games. It's very much another what looks to be a sim racing game. The difference here is there seems to be some live action story beats happening throughout the game, which is pretty cool. And there are now mixed class races. So you can have Formula One cars racing against muscle cars and street cars. There was, in one of the trailers, someone was driving what appeared to be a massive truck and ramming a Formula One car off the road. So it might not be the pure sim that they have done in the past. It may be a little bit more arcadey, which definitely makes me more intrigued about it.
Yeah.
I prefer the more arcadey sims to those heavy simulation races, purely because I just don't understand how they work, and I'm very, very bad at them. Game looks great. It's what they're known for. It's nice to see that they're still doing what they do best.
I'm with you. Like, the reason I liked Project Cars 3 last year was because it was this weird mix between sim and arcade.
Yeah.
And I really loved it for that because I am not a car guy. I don't know what would give it away, but I don't know anything about cars. So the idea of any of a sim level understanding of this game, I'd be like, I'm fucking out. But, you know, that's why I love Need for Speed so much, because it was that arcadey version. And, like, even though, like, hey, here are real-world parts, here are real-world companies, here are real-world, I don't know, fucking gear shafts, I don't know. Like, you know, but it's very simplified, and it just works. And, you know, it does have that Need for Speed energy with this potential FMV-esque storyline. You know, storylines in racing games are always shitty. So I hope this is better. Puck can confirm that a gear thing is an accurate term in the car space. but yeah, so I'm my expectations are there. Like,
okay, well, cool. Welcome to Top Gear Down Under.
Yeah. I did try that once and it didn't go well. So
funny that.
Yeah, we wouldn't do it any better, I guarantee.
Next up, we had Battlefield Portal. Which may have single-handedly convinced me to buy this game at launch. So Battlefield Portal is a new sandbox Battlefield mode, but more important, it's bringing six iconic maps back from Battlefield 1942, Battlefield 3, and Battlefield Bad Company 2, all to Battlefield 2042.
Bad Company 2!
So they showed off, it's kind of like, the easiest way to explain it is kind of like the, I think it was Forge in Halo, where you could kind of drop in your own... They strictly said that it wasn't a map editor, but you could create game modes inside the maps. So they showed off a few of the ones that were pre-made that will be available at launch. So they did knives versus defibrillators. So one team has knives, one team has shock paddles, and they fight to the death. That was really cool. Then they asked the question of, you know how they always do those hypotheticals, what would win, the 500 chickens or a T-Rex? Well, they're putting that to the test, where they put one tank versus 100 little miniature soldiers with rocket launchers. Who's going to win? The miniature soldiers or the one giant tank?
Yeah, he's kind of doing it for me, eh?
Yeah, so obviously, it sounds like you'll have really cool freedom of choice in those games. They're like, you can have the Battlefield 1942 team on one side and the Battlefield 3 guys on the other team. So you'll have old school versus new school.
What I love in this trailer, the thing that gave it away, that I was like, I think I might have to check this fuck out, where it was just some heli carrier looking fuck, and then this fucking World War II like Jeep just goes, and just gets yeeted into this thing.
Yeah,
there's
a guy just standing there with a plunger, and he just blows it up and just, yeah, catapults the truck into it.
I'm like, okay, because like, same as the first trailer for 2042, where they showed off, you know, like someone using a car off an edge into a jet or something it was. Like, yeah. Using that silly... And then, of course, the jumping out of your fighter jet, rocket launching, jumping back in your fighter jet. Like, all the fun things that came with Battlefield, they probably didn't want to intentionally design in the game. They're like, no, that's part of what Battlefield is now. So yeah, they're going to support that. And I think that is awesome.
We got some more Apex Legends news. So there will be a new legend coming to Apex with very similar gameplay to the existing legend Bloodhound. The new legend is named Sia. I believe that there will be gameplay for that character in the next couple of days, and it's set to be released in August. And a ranked mode is also heading to their new 3v3 arenas mode.
I have never played at all Apex.
I recently re-downloaded Apex to check out the arenas mode. I suck at that game now, and it's super not for me anymore.
That's fair.
next up, we had Lost in Random. Lost in Random is the new Zoink Games. It's the next EA original title. The next EA original title coming September 10th for consoles and PC. A short gameplay trailer was shown, giving some backstory to the game, how it will play. So it's a 3D action adventure game with the added mechanics of dice RNG and playable cards.
I remember seeing this a little while ago.
It's like gothic style artwork, very reminiscent of like Coraline and that Tim Burton-esque design style. It looks fantastic. I'm super interested in it. I just wish it didn't come out on the same day as like 30 other games.
That's fine. Like, because I look at this and I'm like, oh, I think I can check this out. Because I remember seeing the trailer a little while ago, and they had the dice that had an eye on it. I'm like, that's uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm going to play the fuck out of this game. So it's now nice to know when it's coming out. And that's got me excited. Because I do try to go media black the best I can for most games in terms of coverage. Because I want to try to get as much first-hand opinions by playing it. But I'm like, cool, I'll check that out.
Next up, we have Knockout City Season 2. The new season is called Fight at the Movies. We'll be coming with the new season comes a new map and a new dodgeball and some new game playlists. And that is kicking off July 27th, so just in a couple of days. And lastly, they closed the show. After rumors swirling for a number of weeks, EA has confirmed a complete remake of Dead Space is currently in the works for PlayStation 5. A very, very short teaser confirmed the news at the very end of EA Play 2021. It showed next to nothing. All we know is that it will feature, quote, improved gameplay and will run on the Frostbite engine, and that EA Motive is the team behind the ground-up remake.
So I have admittedly never played Dead Space. It's been one of those ones I've been told to check out constantly, because apparently it's really good spooks.
Yeah, it is. I've only played the first one.
So in that case, would you be excited to see it redone?
Yes, very much so.
So what would you hope to see, having played the original, what would you hope to see out of this remake?
It's been so long since I played the first one. Obviously, from memory, the gameplay is just on point. So just making it feel better on the, like making it feel and run a bit better on the new engine would be great. Maybe adding the new bells and whistles for the controller support, especially if it's being made for PlayStation 5 and not PS4. Just giving it the extra love that it, that the fans really want from it, because I have a feeling that this is going to be judged very harshly by those Dead Space fans, because from memory, as Dead Space went on, the games got worse.
Very correct. Yeah,
I believe Dead Space 1 was the prodigal son, and it's making its return.
So,
and I think it's going to be, yeah, all eyes are going to be on it.
Critical reception, the series did decline over 2 and 3. Yeah. EA were pretty much, they essentially buried the franchise, right? Their entire decision to focus on to create multiplayer parts, to litter the bus with microtransactions, to then thin it out with other things, like there was a movie, there were comic books, there was all these additional things. It was just kind of like really trying to oversaturate what this is. So I know a lot of people are really quite a little shitty. Like, even though they're excited to see this, it does also seem really kind of dirty, especially after them shutting down Visceral, to be like, well, now that that's, you know, let's re-dig up that corpse just to make some money off it. So I understand for those that are super into the franchise that this may be a point of contention. And I certainly don't think that they are wrong. I think they are quite accurate and are in a good place to be a little bit shitty at EA. But... you know, this isn't out of character for them to do this.
No, so, not at all.
Yeah, and it, yeah. It's a tough one, but I do, it does worry me in, you know, in a number of other ways. But like, I'm excited personally because I would love to play it, having never played it. Like, if it's the better version
It would be a great way to experience it for the first time.
Because I know the game is very dark. And because obviously it's spooks, it's on a spaceship, it's gritty. And like, I do think with the likes of HDR and stuff right now, like, and especially ray tracing on the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, we will look, I think that is where it's going to shine. It's going to shine, pun intended, unintended, around how the lighting would work within that space. Like just having it reflect off cool metals and how the torch will illuminate down corridors. That's what's got me excited from that space. Having seen at least Dead Space, I'm like, cool, but you can certainly tell that you are running on old gear. Shane also adds, I feel like it's a game that would suit VR really well. No way I'd play it though. I can confirm that I would also be like, that sounds amazing, and then never play it in VR. Just like the Resident Evil...
Exactly like Resident Evil 7.
Just Resident Evil 7. I started playing that game in VR, then I evacuated my bowel shortly after, and I was like, well, I'm going to keep playing on the controller. And
I tried to do it and lasted about half an hour.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. The second that the dad, whose name I can't remember right now, once he got up in my business, I was like, nah, man, that's cool.
I'm good, thank you.
But speaking of games getting updates, I've got a small list for you here. Shadow of the Tomb Raider has been patched for backwards compatibility on the PS5. It is now available at 4K at 60 frames per second. If you want to go back and play that, the game's like 4 years old now. It is very, very good, but that wouldn't hurt to go check it out again. Assassin's Creed Valhalla has also getting a new patch, which will launch next week on the 27th of July. Level scaling has been introduced to the game with the patch from off, quote, to nightmarish, quote. So you can choose the level of scaling for the territory and enemies to provide a more balanced or more challenging experience, depending on how much longer you want to play the game, I guess. Genshin Impact has teamed up with Guerrilla as they are proud to announce that everyone's favorite machine hunter, Aloy, will join Genshin Impact for a limited time. She'll be joining the roster of heroes essentially a handful of experience in a small period of time. I having never played Genshin Impact, but also being a sucker for Sony properties, I did get the pull towards it in the same way that Fortnite was like, here's Aloy, here's Kratos. I'm like, I might play Fortnite. And then look at this, I'm like, do I want Like, do I need Aloy in Genshin Impact? No, I've never played Genshin Impact. It looks weeby as crap, so I don't think it's within my
wheelhouse. Have you seen the character model for Aloy that they're going to use?
A little bit, and it's like cheesy-ish. I'm like, I'm sure about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going back into it.
No. All right, well, things are about to take a darker turn, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk something actually quite uncomfortable. So just letting you all know. But Max, let's get into what is the grossest news story to come out of this week.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Activision Blizzard lawsuit. So Activision Blizzard, the publisher of franchises like Call of Duty and Overwatch, is currently being sued over incidents of discrimination and misconduct in the workplace with claims that the company oversees a, quote, frat boy culture. The 29-page filing, as reported by Bloomberg Law, speaks of various instances of misconduct, including the, quote, sexual harassment of female employees. The lawsuit has been tabled by the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing. That is a state organization tasked with, quote, investigating and prosecuting civil rights and actions. And it alleges of a, quote, pervasive frat boy workplace culture and cites a number of troubling examples. It alleges that women have to, quote, continually fend off unwanted sexual comments and advances by their male co-workers and supervisors, and also alludes to instances of, quote, groping. Some of the examples get increasingly disturbing, such as one known as the, quote, cube crawl, in which, quote, male employees drink copious amounts of alcohol as they crawl their way through various cubicles in the office and often engage in inappropriate behavior towards their female employees. The lawsuit goes on with more alarming allegations, including examples of gender and race discrimination, demeaning behavior, and much more. It adds that while complaints were made internally at the company, including directly to Blizzard boss J. Allen Brack, the, quote, defendants failed to take effective remedial measures in response to those complaints. The California Department of Fair Employment and Housing is demanding a trial by jury. However, in response to the lawsuit, Activision Blizzard provided a statement to The Verge describing it as, quote, irresponsible behavior from unaccountable state bureaucrats that are driving many of the state's best businesses out of the state. End quote.
The fuck is wrong with this industry, man?
Yeah.
It's fucked. Like, it's absolutely fucked. Like, I understand that there was a time when it was just a dude's place, right? But that's not the fucking world we live in. I cannot understand why. I'm not even going to do the whole it's 2021 bullshit. 20 years ago, fucking 15 years ago, why, yeah, like, you know, 30 years ago, why the fuck is this common workplace behavior in the industry? All we seem to hear recently is about how companies are fucking shit to not just their minority employees, their female employees, and I imagine probably even their, like, male employees. It sounds like that everyone is just treated like garbage in this space, and it's fucking gross. They're just abuses of power everywhere.
Yeah. If you're interested in this, because a state department is leading the suit, it is all public record. It is readily available to those who want to have a look. It is quite in detail. You will probably get a better understanding of it from that than what we can provide here
very much
today.
So.
And I strongly suggest that if you are interested, you should definitely go and check it out for yourself. Because some of the stuff that's in there is just completely,
it's appalling. Appalling. Like, the idea of the crew of a cube crawl, that actually makes my skin crawl. That's fucking gross. Because, like, that to me, like, I can understand, but I mean, like, you know, it's understanding's not the right word I'm looking for, right? But, like, you know, maybe some minor advances, like, hey, maybe I'm interested in you and it didn't land, like, that's cool, I'm sorry, like, but not like groping and shit. That's fucking unacceptable. Sexual harassment is unfucking acceptable, but the idea of a clearly intent to go and just make people uncomfortable and be fucking gross astounds me.
Yeah, and they reference, we didn't reference it here, but in the lawsuit, there's references to better qualified female workers being overlooked for promotions for less qualified men, and then those men palming off their work to that female employee who didn't get the more deserved promotion.
The fuck? And look, and this fucking comment from them as well, from Blizzard, been like, oh, irresponsible behavior from unacceptable. No, really, everything you fucking said that's in this piece, that's irresponsible behavior. That yeah. is an unaccountable company that is not willing to step up and correct their shit. And look, this is the depressing part, Max. This is the depressing part. Nothing will change. I guarantee you what will happen is Activision Blizzard will pull out this lawsuit to a point where those that are involved cannot continue. They will be so financially like strangled out of it, it will not see a result. The company will not see any backlash from this, right? It's the exact same thing as Ubisoft, and you know, previously in this year or last year, whenever the fuck it was, I'm part of the problem, I guess. Like when they were called out to have literal, you know, sexual yeah. assault and unwanted sexual, you know, like advances, like, I hate you, I don't want to use the word, but like the R word, you know what I mean? Like these are straight unwanted sexual acts on client, yeah. on staff, right? And it is abhorrent. But people have forgotten because Far Cry 6 is coming out. Or, you know, there's all these things, like they have changed the message. You got to remember, this is the same company that acted the way they did when it came to, was it BlizzChung and their responses around yeah. Hong Kong? Like, they yeah. buried that, like, blatant, like disgusting controversy around the announcement of Diablo 4.
Yep.
They buried it. And I guarantee you they will do the exact same thing here. Give it 2 weeks, give it 3 weeks when they announce the next Call of Duty or when Diablo 2 Remake comes out in September, they will literally, all of this will probably be forgotten by the main media. I am going to shit on the fucking main media. Like, they will sit here and they'll discuss about, you know, the Israeli-Palestinian bull, like, you know, that is genuine fucking horrible what's going on over there as well. But the standard press will pick and choose the things that they defend. Then they will backstep on it when the convenience is of, hey, this new game's coming out and this is how we're going to respond. I have such an issue with that. And, like, don't get me wrong, we will probably be part of that hypocrisy. And we'll talk about the next Call of Duty that's coming out, right? And I understand how I'm sitting here on my high horse, but my high horse has weak legs, you know, because I will fall off it at any given time. But it's fucked. It is absolutely fucked. And once again, when that Call of Duty comes out, when that next WoW expansion comes out, everyone will forget. They will still get your money, which at the end of the day is what they really, really want. They will, all of this will fall back into silence. Nothing will change. Nothing will get better. And I understand that that is very cynical. That is very depressing. But that is the world that we live in. And that is, and so because we look and these are, you know, like crunch culture. Oh, crunch culture is being smashed. Oh, isn't that great? Cool. That is great. The crunch culture is being handled. But what about people being fucking sexually assaulted in the workplace? Someone working slightly more, if you want to look at scales of intensity, someone being groped and like being essentially sought out in a workplace to be assaulted is way more worse than someone working a handful more hours or, you know, working more. Because to make matters worse, you're working more in a business, in an environment that does this. Like fixing crunch is fixing a result, but not fixing a behavior, not fixing a grander problem within the space. You're fucked. Max, do you have anything to say?
No, like I alluded to before, I don't think I'm qualified enough to speak on this. I'm just going to reiterate, if you are at all interested in what's going on, check it out. It is very easily found online.
Yeah, look, everything I've said is not like a fucking factual. It's all based in feelings. And the feeling of disgust is pretty much where I'm at when I look at it. As I said, I look at it, I'm just like, what the fuck is all of this? It's fucking gross. You know what I mean? And it said, nothing will change. People will still buy their games. Well, like I don't have any intention to buy them anyway, but I'm not going to stand here and make this fucking sense of I will never buy an Activision Blizzard game, because I honestly don't know whether I can keep that. Right? Yeah. Like, that's not me like going against everything that I've just said. It's like, cool, but it's this.
It's a weird line to draw in the sand.
It is, and like it is the line that will break them. That decision is what will kill them. If you say I am not buying this game, and you as one person really doesn't have a ripple effect, but if everyone just suddenly, you know, I think as Mudaha from Some Ordinary Gamers put on Twitter, like if everyone just deletes Warzone, yeah, they'll learn pretty quick, but that ain't gonna happen. Because are there any people that really know about this problem, people that really know and or care about this problem, are people that are in the industry, that are in that scenario. The average person will not know about this. The average person can still continue to buy this. It's a problem. Anyway, quick bits, Max. You know, as Puck says in the chat, and now the weather. According to the VenturePete report, Dragon Age 4 is on track for a 2023 release. I'm a big Dragon Age fan. I'm pretty sure you're all damp in the front area for that one.
Yeah, I'm loving Dragon Age. I'm looking forward to Dragon Age.
But this bit of news, I'm sure, got you kind of all, you know, all excited. The Tokyo Olympic Games opening ceremony was overnight from the day that we were recording, and it was littered with video game music from various series, including Final Fantasy, Nier, Kingdom Hearts, Dragon Quest, all of the weeby hearts across the world.
I think there was a Sonic the Hedgehog level background music in there. It's so typical of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously it's a big part of their culture. It makes sense. Kind of cool. You know.
I love it how, like, all I saw across Twitter for leading up into Tokyo. Why are people going to Tokyo? Why are they doing the Olympics? It's a worldwide pandemic. Why are you doing this? Oh my God, they're playing music from games that I love. Like, pick your fucking message, right? You know, like, Jesus Christ. Having someone that's not like, I love the novelty of this though. I'm like, that's cool, because it is showing that at least game music can be on scene on a grand world stage like that as an actual impressive piece of music. That I really like. But, you know, it's interesting. Raphael Lacoste and Ubisoft art director has left the company after 16 years and has joined the New Haven Studios. That's the one by Jade Raymond that is working in a second-party capacity with PlayStation. Makes sense. Jade Raymond, her history within Ubisoft, she's probably going to be pulling for people that she knows. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut Iki Island expansion has got a story trailer. It did get a story trailer early this week.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, not yet.
Me either. I'm just going to wait and play it. Like I said, I do need to go back to Ghost of Tsushima, and I probably will. I don't know, but I didn't really enjoy it the first time. Wait and see. I love this bit of news, by the way. Soccer game PES Pro Evolution Soccer has been renamed to just eFootball and will now become a free-to-play title with a new engine and new game modes. This is what the future of these live service models need to be. This is what FIFA should be. It should be called FIFA. And then it's free-to-play. You buy your microtransactions. You buy your roster updates every year. That's what it should be.
I mean, FIFA makes enough money just on selling those stupid Legends cards for their ultimate football team that they could get away with going to a free-to-play model like this. But if they can get your extra $100 on top of that...
Yeah, look, Pro Evo are doing this to survive in the space. I know you were talking about the other day. This is their move to not drown.
I think so. I think it's the right choice, and I think we've mentioned it quite a few times in the past that these annualized games should really turn into a live service model, where you pay for your roster updates at the end of each year, or you know you can sell it as a season pass, and you know
a literal season, the literal upcoming gaming football season. There you go.
That's it. So, it makes sense. Exciting to see that they're getting a new engine. I wonder if this will help them compete in that space, because obviously, your two soccer games or football games have been FIFA or PES, and PES has always fallen short of that big branded FIFA game. So hopefully this will, you know, give FIFA a bit more run for its money, and hopefully, you know, competition creates innovation, and hopefully both of these games will grow from it.
I do think that FIFA will win out in the end, but
I also think that.
But I'd be very curious to see what the uptake in PES numbers, as like once they shift that and go boop, and they just start, and they if they get enough hit and enough love, I'd be curious whether FIFA start taking notice. Ubisoft announced this week Tom Clancy's X-Defiant, a new 6v6 free-to-play arena shooter, and the crowds, they were mild. They were not all that stoked on this one.
Didn't do it for you? Rubbish.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster could come to consoles if there is a demand, says Square Enix. I'm sorry, Square Enix, are you aware of everyone and the internet? Like, fuck. There's currently only been released on PC and mobile. What are you... What the fuck?
Yeah, it's pretty much the general consensus online. It's like, obviously, everyone wants it on their consoles. Please, not just PC and mobile.
Yeah, fuck. And finally, the PlayStation Store is currently having a winter sale. There are over 1,200 items available on discount. I myself am probably going to pick up, I think Judgment is the one that's got me keen. Because after that, after Lost Judgment, we saw the trailer last week with the State of Play. I'm like, ooh, you kind of look good. And it's like $30. And I'm like, that's pretty mad. Nice. There's a lot of good sales on this. This is a big, you know, Q3 sale. And it's chunky boy. I should just go check it out. It's a
chunky boy. The top 10 best-selling PlayStation 4 games for the week ending the 18th of July. Number 10, we have Red Dead Redemption 2. Number 9, Last of Us Remastered. Number 8, Call of Duty Cold War. Number 7, Gran Turismo Sport. Number 6, FIFA 21. Number 5, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Number 4, Crash 4, It's About Time, which I think is on sale. 3, UFC 4. Number 2, Grand Theft Auto 5. And coming in pole position, Formula 1 2021.
Well done.
Which has had its ray tracing removed from the PlayStation 5 title due to bugs.
Rad.
Apparently, the stability is really awkward with ray tracing on, so they've turned it off for now.
I should mention as well, friend of the show and previous guest, Buddy Watson, has written a review over at Well Played, if you want to go check that out. I think the only person I know that's actually reviewed the title, because a lot of the circles that I run with, they don't play car racing games. I didn't even know he liked them, so I was like, mad. That's awesome. And then, of course, in the chat, Puck jumps in and goes, hey, come on, you guys know that you're just going to buy 4 copies of GTA 5. The numbers reflect that. That is true. I'll buy it on 4 separate accounts just to go and cheat and spam peoples with it. All right, here are the upcoming releases for the next week. Now, Mac, you should make an alteration. So last week, the date put for Monster Harvest was inaccurate. It is coming out in the middle of August, the 17th, I believe. It has been previously delayed, and that looks as if the information we had was not up to date.
Just because you're doing it this week, if there's no date on the end of them, they're coming out on the 27th.
Okay, no worries. So the following are coming out on the 27th, which is pretty much all of them. So Neo, The World Ends With You on PS4, Samurai Warriors 5, PS4, The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles on PS4. The Great Ace Attorney Adventures on PS4. That's not connected to the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, is it?
I think so.
Because I really quite like the Phoenix Wright games. I think I got a review code a yonk back for the rejiggers, and I really enjoyed it. I can't actually. You know, I'm fucking redownloading. I might play through it again. And if this is in that same space, maybe I'm tempted. Tribes of Midgard is coming to PS4 and PS5.
So, fun fact, a couple of weeks ago, I said on the show that I wouldn't play it. Turns out I have pre-purchased it to play with some friends.
What, Tribes of Midgard?
Yeah, go me for just instantly backstepping on my... I hate games like that.
At least you are consistent.
I am a sucker for co-op games,
you are consistently inconsistent, which is nice. Clone Drone in the Danger Zone on PS4. Elder Souls Eldest Souls. That's confusing. PS4 and PS5. Darius Burst ACEX Plus on PS4. Winds and Leaves on PSVR. And Synth Riders on PSVR. Oh, fuck, there's more. Dude, ever since Kumquat gave us this list, we previously went from there are no games to there are so many fucking games. The Forgotten City is coming to PS4 and PS5 on the 28th of July. Endo Crisis on PS4 on the 28th of July. Blaster Master 03 on PS4 on the 29th of July. And Fuga Melodies of Steel PS4 to PS5 on the 29th of July.
Yep.
Damn.
Some of these dates, I checked most of these dates. Some of these dates are American and we may get them the day after.
Yeah, so it's within that window. So these are the games that are coming out this week. The day itself may alter. That's all good. Yeah. Nothing really jumps out for me there, apart from maybe the Ace Attorney.
I kind of want Neo: The World Ends With You.
So that sounds familiar. That one sounds familiar.
I think it's an old Nintendo DS game, 3DS game, okay. Perhaps. One of those weeby JRPG games. And then obviously Eldest Souls is supposed to be pretty good, but with me picking up Tribes of Midgard already, due to pre-purchasing it a couple of weeks ago when one of my friends talked me into it. And I also got the Tokyo Olympics game today, so that's what I'm going to be playing tonight with some friends.
That is so gross.
I literally just made my avatar before I got on.
Ugh.
Yeah,
I don't think it's... hang on, let me have a look. Sorry, I just remembered there is a game that we should shout out because of personal connection, obviously. But on the 28th of July as well, Rain Bites Trigger Witch is also available.
Yes.
Big shout out to that game because friend of the show and personal friend of mine, John Opec, is the writer. He is one of the other longest running guests on the show aside from Paul James. He has written it. So just if you want to go support our friend, that's probably the best way to go do that. He's also a writer himself. He's written two books, the Maven series. Go check them out too as well. I'm very excited to see his work in the game space. I remember when I remember hearing about that he'd written a game. I was like, holy shit, dude, how the hell did you end up with that? Just not from like a, how about you, how did you do it? But I'm like, How did you do it? Like, how do you line yourself up with a studio? You know, because they made Reverie, and Reverie was incredibly well received. So I'm very, very excited to see how that comes together. So shout out to Jono, and shout out to Trigger Witch as well. I think that's everything.
That is.
It is. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. As always, thank you everyone that comes here on the Twitch to chat. And of course, the downloads the show and gives us part of your time. Time is one of the most kindest and important things that we have. And if you share that with someone, that means the absolute world. So thank you for taking this hour and a half, however long this episode is, out of your week to spend it with us. We do truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you. Max, can't take too much more of their time. Send us home.
Yeah, well, let's let them get back to their appointed lockdowns. Well, everyone, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, hopefully we'll be back in studio next week. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find all those links in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, you can by heading over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live. You know, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. We love that interaction from our listener base, and apparently I've just buggered up the camera. Hang on, there we go. I clicked the button on the side of my mouse. Good on you, dickhead. Oh, hang on. This is why we need to be back in studio, ladies and gentlemen, because... this Discord.
Because Ryan can't push buttons properly.
I'm just bad at buttons. But jump in the chat, become part of the show. We love having people involved in the chat, whether it be in the show, across the social medias. We can't thank you all enough. If you do want to support the show, you can. You can tell your friends, you can tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you want to, if you are listening to us on your podcast service of choice, give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on YouTube, be sure to give us a like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise, thepopcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.
You.